the Fantasy Six-Pack Hour with your hosts, Joe Bob and AJ Appleton.
Touchdown!
Right, all right. Welcome to the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. My name is Joe Bond, founder of FantasySixPack.net. With me, as usual, Mr. AJ Epigarth. What's going on, man? I don't know. Is anything happening tonight?
No, nothing. Same shit all day.
Except that it's football day.
Football day.
No, nothing.
Hell yeah, man. Good stuff. The Kansas City Chiefs and the Detroit Lions are battling it out right now. They are at halftime. The Chiefs are up 14-7. Without Mr. Travis Kelce, nonetheless. So that was fantastic news to start the season for a lot of people who took him in round one. Yeah. But it is what it is. Hopefully, he only misses one game. I kind of expect that to be the case, but we'll see what happens. We guess gotta play by week by week at this point. So,
yep.
Anyway, so yes, we are back in action in season, and so we're gonna go through the normal Fantasy Six Pack Hour rigmarole, do our rankings reviews / start sit kind of talk. We're gonna do. We're gonna hit on some of the hot news, trending topics that everybody's kind of talking about right now that you need to get our advice on, hopefully. And then tonight, though, we're going to have a little bit more fun because it is opening week, opening day, if you want to call it that for football. I don't know what the hell they call opening day for the NFL. It's not opening day, but you know what I mean.
You know what opening day is.
Opening kickoff? I don't know. Yes. First kickoff? I don't know. I'm going to make some stuff up and see if something sticks. None of it will. Anyway,
no.
You know what I mean? So first game of the NFL season, we're going to go through our predictions for the season. A little bit of NFL futures, perhaps, if you want to call it that. So before we jump into all that, though, just want to remind everybody to hit that subscribe button. It's over there somewhere, I think, down there. If my fingers can both point in the same direction, leave that like button, give that thumbs up, comment, talk to us. We're here. We like hearing from you guys. And then go over to fantasysixpack.net and become an all access member. You're going to get access to our award winning rankings, our elite DFS content. We got Chris Robin on board this season, Detroit Beastie. He's throwing stuff on our YouTube channel as well. You're going to get our projections, the DFS projections, DFS stack tool. You're going to get, and then you also get access directly to us, all of the analysts on Discord. Our Discord is free to just kind of chat and just kind of talk amongst yourselves and just, we'll answer some stuff here and there, but if you want your specific trade questions, your specific start sit questions, waiver wire questions answered, you got to hit us up inside the member channels and get your questions answered there. And go over to fantasysixpack.net/plans. Use promo code S6PNFL for 15% off. That's going away soon. So if you want it, you got to jump in on that promo code now. So with that being said, let's bring in our guest. And it is Mr. Chris Allen from Fantasy Life. How's it going, man?
I mean, fellas, it's opening kickoff day. We've got live football on our screens right now.
Literally right now. The second half just started.
Right. I think the best part about this, and I've been thinking about this all day, it's not the fact that we've got live football. It's not the fact that we've got Patrick Mahomes on our screens and arguably the best quarterback, in the league as of right now. But the fact that we have got all of the off-season debate bullshit,
yeah,
stops. We're done.
No offense, guys, I loved everybody's feedback for our draft cheat sheet. Everybody seemed to have liked it. Updating that was a bitch. Mm-hmm. I don't have to do that anymore. So it's now just, I mean, the in season is still a grind, but man, the off season is way more of a grind. There's just because, so like, much noise from every direction. You release your
rankings and stuff, and then somebody will automatically look at it and just be like, well, I think this dude's going to be better than that guy. Or you've got him down here. I like this guy better. And like, yeah, it's this back and forth conversation debate that you got to have with people, all based off of stuff that happened last year. And now we've got live football on our screen. So now it's just like, let's shut up and just watch football.
Let's enjoy it. Let's have fun, and let me tell you next week what's going to happen based off this.
Yes, let's be done with all that, right?
So anyway, man. So you are here week one because unfortunately you had I forget what had happened, but doesn't matter at this point. You had to bow out, right, unfortunately, during the season during the But we are glad to have you here opening the season with us. And, you know, we're getting some comments here. By the way, happy birthday, Jamie Parag. I know you're in the chat. Anyway, man. So
birthday, Jamie.
Let's jump into this. And, of course, first, man, with you on board, we, of course, have to do Beer of the Week.
Beer.
So we may or may not have peer pressure Chris into drinking. It wasn't on purpose, actually. He kind of peer pressured himself. Like, we just talked about it, and then he was like, all right, fine. Anyway, Chris, I know you brew your own stuff, so we always look forward to hearing what you have on tap. What you got, man?
Yeah, so this one right here, so it's an orange hazy IPA that I brewed for a recent homebrew competition. So it's the Beer and Sweat keg only competition hosted by the Blatarian Brewing Club. That's out of like the Cincinnati area. And it's an awesome event to go to. So if anybody's ever in like the Southwest Ohio area in like the early August timeframe, they want to come with me, I'll pay your way to get in. I mean, y'all know John Bosch, right? I mean, does like most of the fantasy limit stuff. Yeah. Bosch came up and hung out with me like during the competition, and, you know, spent the evening just hanging out, drinking beer. And I think for $20, you can just become a member for the evening and you can sample all the taps, like all the kegs and stuff that are there. And I think this season it was about 80 or so. So you're just hanging out there, drinking from all the taps. And then, you know, nerding out with all the other homebrewers for the evening. So yeah, I submitted this one along with a honey ale on top of that. But both had like strong scores, didn't get any medals like this year, but at least, you know, this, I brewed something I like, and that's really all I care about at this point.
That's all there is to it, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you like it, it's worth it. Mm-hmm. AJ, what about you, man?
All right. I myself am, going back to the well of good flavors from my buddy's stash that he left for me, Devil's Purse Brewing. This is the Hen and Chickens Double IPA. Actually, I only gave this one a 3.5. It's good. It's just, it's not overpowering by any means, but it is pretty solid, easy, very easy drinking, light double IPA. It's still an 8% or so. We'll see what happens as I get my IPA, way through.
8%er.
Yeah.
So I'm drinking the last of the Vermont brews that I've got. And this one is a Fiddlehead Brewing Company, Fiddlehead IPA. I've never heard of them before this was given to me. It is, I don't even know what percent. 6.2, which is probably a good thing because it's a tall boy. So it's a 18 ouncer or something shit like that. I don't even 1.32 floor ounces. One pint point.
Yeah, I was like,
whatever. Okay. 1.3 ounces. So like 19.2.
That's quite the tall boy.
Yeah,
19.2. If I can do the math.
Like, what is this on there? 1 gallon.
I meant 1 pint. Yeah. Sorry.
Like, I've got this little jug here.
Right.
It's all right. I mean, I'll probably give it like, it's definitely not as good as the Alchemist that I've had, but I saved the tall boy for the big show. I was excited about it, but it didn't hit. I should have saved one of the Alchemists, but it is what it is. But yeah, maybe like a 3.5. It's not great. Anyway, man. So let's jump in here. We're gonna start out with Cooper Cup. What do we do? Obviously
trade him.
People that have what's up, Chris? Chris Robbins in the house.
What's happening? What's up?
Obviously, drafts are over. People that have drafted him. There it is what it is, right? You know, I had a couple of drafts this last six or seven drafts in the last week and a half, and I was avoiding him like the plague. It was just like, I'm out. Like, I didn't want to deal with the headache of Cooper Kupp. Like, there's guys, I know he's awesome when he's on the field, but just no thank you. Now we know he's at least out for this week. There's all these like tweets going out about, you know, he was getting a second opinion on a hamstring to see what's actually going on. And then Sean McVay kind of let slip, or maybe on purpose, I don't know what that was. It might have been nerve damage. That's by obviously your boss, Matthew Berry, who kind of retweeted that tweet. I don't know what to think about Cooper Kupp. I know I didn't drop him very super far in my draft rankings. I only put him at like wide receiver 10 or 11. Man, I was so tempted to just throw him down at like 25 and just be like, I'm out. I mean, I could be dead wrong on it, but man, that could have hit really big for me in, you know, in the end of the year competition, obviously. But that's not what I'm here for, man. If this guy can actually play like 13, 14 games, you know, he's baller. And so he's easily gonna be top 10. So that's why I left him there. If he misses more, he misses more. But that's, you know, that's probably where he should have been drafted, was like top 10, top 12 receiver still at that point. What do you think, Chris?
That's, I guess, without knowing more, because I'm not an injury specialist like in the slightest. I think that's what gives me my biggest concern, is that without understanding what the mechanism for the injury is and what the potential outlook would be for him, I've been staying away. Mm-hmm. Because let's say if he does come back, is this an injury? I'm not saying I claim to know or anything like that, but is this an injury that can pop up again? Can it linger? Can it just, you know, can it get re-aggravated at any time? So it's easier for me to look at the other options in the first round that were typically going around him and to say, I'll just take those guys. Like, whether it's Hill, who's typically been going ahead of him, Eckler is going around him, so I just start an RB instead. Diggs, who's been going behind him. I mean, any of the first round guys that have been going around Kupp, I'll just make my bones on getting a wide receiver that's going to get, let's say, similar target volume and theoretically on a much better offense than what the Rams are going to look like for 2023. And I'll just, if he winds up burning me, he winds up burning me.
Yeah.
If it was just going to be a hamstring thing, okay, I understand to some degree, I understand hamstring injuries, at least relative to NFL players. But now when you're talking nerve damage, having to go see a specialist, all this additional stuff that's like, at the very least, indicates it's more than just a hamstring injury, I'd rather just walk away and just wash my hands of the entire situation, to be honest.
Yeah.
So what about when he comes back, right? So let's hope, right? You know.
Yeah. Hope so.
For those of, he's awesome when he's on the field. I want to watch him. You know, my Scott Fishbowl team, be damned. That's the only team I have him on. But let's just say, like, when he comes back, right? Are you like, let's say DFS, right? Are you going like, all right, you know, say he's playing Oakland or the Cardinals, right? Good matchup. Yeah. Are you just throwing him in? Are you kind of a wait and see? Let's see if he makes it through a game or two before you're kind of confident with a Cooper Kupp.
I'm assuming from a DFS standpoint, their best shot would be to play him the very first week that he comes back. I mean, assuming that the cost for him to play him on any 1 week type platform is going to be relatively lower to what he would normally be priced at, mm-hmm. If we knew he was full strength. So I'd be happy to pay that price for him at that cost, with the uncertainty attached from on a 1 week type system or 1 week format, like season long or whatever. I'll just manage around him, like I'll draft around him or something mm-hmm. along those lines. But from a DFS standpoint, if the team is saying he's back, he's practicing throughout the week, and so on and so forth, and he has the type of matchup that we know that typically he would smash, and I'm also going to potentially get him at a slight discount yeah, I'll pay that cost.
Yeah. AJ, what are your thoughts about, like, you know, there's talk that he's going to return. Do you, or like, even if he's out and, like, you know, it's the injury right now is being, you know, let's just say like tomorrow we hear it's a 3 to 4 week injury. Do you go trade for him for cheap, hoping he returns back full strength? Or are you nervous on that?
I'm still a little nervous on it because we really don't know what we're up against. Even if they come out and say, yeah, 3 to 4 weeks, it still could be something that lingers on once he is back. If that's the actual timeline for him getting back on the field, you know, you could have another 3 to 4 weeks where he's just not producing at the level that you would have expected when you drafted him. So I am a little nervous about it, but I might give it a week and kind of let it play out a little bit and then see if I could put some feelers out there for him. I mean, if I can get the guy at a relatively cheap price, I'm not afraid to try it. I just have to make sure that I have enough solid depth at receiver, you know, on my teams before I do it. And I would think that if you're trading for him, somebody's going to want some sort of receiver back, and unless they have enough depth where they're like, oh yeah, well, I need running backs. I have, you know, I drafted six straight receivers and I have no running back depth. You know, you might be able to find a good fit that, you know, like all trades should be, help you and the person you're trading with. But I just, with the uncertainty, I think it's something I could see me getting burned on. So I don't know if I'm going to be brave enough to risk it.
I think it might be one of those things for me. Like if my team's doing well, I may not go out there and do anything. Or if I have like a crap load of depth, then I can just throw a couple depth, you know, a couple pieces at a player and or at a team who has Cup and maybe get him, you know, in hope. And even if I have Cup and it doesn't work out, then it didn't really hurt my overall team. But if my team sucks and I'm kind of desperate and that team is like, I'm looking to unload, like, let's do it. Let's play. Like, let's I'm all in. Like, let's throw the chips in the middle and just see what happens. You know, like, your team already blows. Like, let's just see what happens. Right. So, this is unfortunate, man. I was really looking forward to seeing Cooper Kupp on the field. I kind of thought he was going to have a bit of a bounce back season. You know, everybody was, there was a lot of talk earlier on that people just weren't in on him. And I was completely in on him early on, which is why I have him as Scott Fish. He kind of fell, actually. But then I just didn't get him. Ooh, Detroit just scored. Who was that? The defense. Oh, they picked Patty Mahomes. Uh-oh.
Yep, they sure did.
Pick six, baby.
Wow, I must be.
Yeah, the line on this game, by the way, was hilarious. So, like, as soon as the Kelce news that, like, he could potentially.
That was the out, rookie Branch from Alabama.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice start to your career. Ooh. Oh, bounced right off of who was that? Who's 19?
Oh, is that Rice?
19. Was it 19? If it's 19, it's Kadarius Toney.
Oh, yeah. Toney.
You are benched. Yeah, that's funny because we had a lot of conversation about starting Kadarius Toney today, and most of us didn't, but I think some of us did. Anyway, all right, so let's move this along here. We talked a lot about Cooper Kupp, so let's get into our rankings review, start sit stuff, and I think how we're going to do this and what we've done in the past is we have the voice in the sky, Mike LaPlante, kind of present the questions to us.
All right, you're gonna make me mute my football.
Sorry, bro.
All right, so we're gonna start in with the quarterbacks here. Who are we gonna start this week out of these two? Geno Smith versus the Los Angeles Rams or Kirk Cousins versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? We'll start with you, Chris, since you're the guest.
I lean Kirk Cousins in this matchup. just ever so slightly over Geno. Vikings last season, top five in pass rate over expectation. Still also top eight in pass rate over expectation once they got into the red zone. And I would expect similar passing rates like for 2023, especially after getting rid of Dalvin Cook. And I'm not, I don't think there's been any indication that while folks are excited about seeing Alexander Mattison get a larger workload, that he's going to essentially be the this bell cow type running back, this highly efficient type running back that's going to push them back into being more of a, even running the ball more in the red zone. And so with Justin Jefferson, the wide receiver one, ain't no question about it, being his wide receiver one, TJ Hockenson, who was, he actually led the league or was right behind, actually right behind Justin Jefferson in terms of first downs per target after the trade after he was traded to the Vikings. So having those two high-end pass catchers on top of picking who I thought was going to be one of the, who I think is going to be one of the better wide receivers in this class in Jordan Addison to go opposite Justin Jefferson. I think this is still one of the least better fantasy offenses, despite last season finishing 27th in DVOA, which means they were just a bit more lucky in terms of like bouncing the ball, explosive plays and whatnot. But overall, going up against the Bucks, the defense is still okay. But still, I'd like with that passing core, I think I'll give the nod to Kirk in week one over Geno.
All right. Joe, what you got?
Oh, you want me? I actually wrote down Geno, but I actually started relooking at a couple things, and I actually do think it is Cousins. A lot of what Chris said, I know Geno's got good weapons there, DK and Lockett, and they're apparently going to have Jaxon Smith-Njigba this week, which is shocking. I just don't really know how much they expect this dude to play. Like one bad hit on that wrist and he's toast for a lot longer. So it seems stupid to risk a dude's entire season to start out his career, you know, in game one. But yeah, I mean, I kind of, you know, neither one of these defenses is all that great. You know, Tampa and the Rams, they used to be considered elite defenses. We kind of saw that they're not. The one thing that kind of it is super close. The one thing that does kind of want me to say Geno just ever so slightly is that at least the Rams offense, I would tend to believe, would be slightly better than the Bucks, especially with Stafford at quarterback. You know, with Tampa, like it's Baker. Yeah, and they've got Mike Evans, they've got Godwin. We like Rashad White, I guess. And of course the Rams are missing Cooper Kupp. So that's a huge loss there. But so you would think that maybe Geno's gonna have to pass a little more to keep up. But Cousins could just throw three touchdowns early and then we're done. Like the conversation's over. And like, you kind of think that could happen with of course Jefferson, and we're all like Addison, and you know, Osborne is no slouch either. You brought up, of course, Hockenson, which saw a massive target share once he got to the Vikings. And then, you know, Madison can catch passes at the backfield too. Don't forget that. He's no Dalvin Cook, but he is good. So I do slightly lean Kirk Cousins right now. It is super close, though.
All right, yeah. AJ, round it off. Is it a clean sweep?
I mean, you guys all made really good points, so I might have to lean that way. I did have Geno. So I'll stick with it. I think that last year wasn't necessarily the fluke. You know, he finally got his chance, and he balled out. So in his game, in his first game against the Rams last year, he had 367 yards, three touchdowns, and one pick. He did also lose a fumble, but that was at LA. He played them again at the very last game of the season, which was kind of meaningless for them. So stats weren't really as mind blowing. But he did actually rush a lot in that game. I have 4 rushes for 51 yards, which was kind of surprising. So I still like Geno this week. But I do think that maybe Cousins will outshine him. Just in my mind, a potentially better offense.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one. I've actually, I've got them back to back right now. I've got Geno ahead in my rankings, but my gut tells me Cousins. And so sometimes, you know, I'm like, the projections roll out one way, but my gut tells me something else. So
yeah,
it is what it is. So
I think we can move on. We'll start it off early with a clean sweep.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah, that'll work.
Well, moving on to the next one here. This one might be a little quicker, depending on how you feel. Deshaun Watson versus the Bengals or Anthony Richardson versus the Jaguars? We'll start with you first, Joe.
The rankings, we'll say Richardson because of the projections kind of pushed that way. I'm not doing it. Sorry. I'm not. I want to see Richardson do it. And of course, you know, this is a pretty good matchup for him. But I still just don't think this Colts offense is ready yet to be able to produce enough. I know he's going to, you know, run quite a bit, but I want to see him produce enough for us to be able to trust him before we throw him out there over somebody like a Deshaun Watson. And I know the matchup is way tougher for Watson, but no, thank you. I'm not doing that.
All right, AJ, you are next.
I actually had Deshaun on this one. I just think that overall, from a talent perspective, he is the better option. Richardson, in my mind, has the tougher defensive matchup. Jacksonville's defense is in my mind, definitely better than Cincy.
Since he allowed the least amount of points to the quarterbacks last year, you want to look that up again?
That's great. That doesn't matter to me. I'm going full defense. So,
okay.
I mean, call me a homer for Dougie P, but Richardson's too raw. I think Jacksonville is going to be able to get to him, get pressure on him. They already are down Jonathan Taylor. They're probably down Zach Moss. So, you know, they're going to be looking for Richardson to be taking on a lot of that rushing potentially. And I think Watson will be able to also rush, but it's going to be more, more designed as of, in lieu of, you know, kind of all on the fly, like, oh shit, I'm about to get sacked, I need to run. I think there's going to be a lot of that coming Richardson's way. So I think Watson's the better option in my mind.
All right, Chris, all yours.
Oh boy. So I can't. I can't in good conscience.
You want to talk about your Dougie P homerism?
I can't in good conscience go against my guys
here. As he puts on the Cincinnati Bengals.
Well, at least for fantasy purposes, because I think it's going to be a close game. I'm not one of those rabid like Bengals fans that thinks like we're going to completely go out and stomp in week one or whatever, and we're going to the Super Bowl. I hope we do, but still, points in favor of Anthony Richardson. We all know. I mean, there's really no. There's no debate that he is one of, if not the most athletic quarterback that we have ever seen. Combine testing numbers better than insert athletic quarterback here. Doesn't matter. Last season, rushing quarterbacks facing the Jacksonville Jaguars, Daniel Jones, rushing production, not even passing production, rushing production, 11 for 107 and a touchdown last season. So that floor of 16 points right there. That was Daniel Jones. Lamar Jackson, 14 rushes for 89 yards. No touchdown. Jalen Hurts, 16 rushes, 38 yards, touchdown. So three rushing quarterbacks that faced the Jacksonville Jaguars last season averaged over 10 points. So that's Anthony Richardson's floor right there, right? It's not like the Jags went out and signed some elite corner. They don't have Sauce Gardner or some other like hot young rookie corner working for them. So yeah, if Daniel Jones can put up, you know, can cross the century mark and get a touchdown against the Jaguars defense, also while piloting a wide receiver group of what castoffs from a different team, like what Isaiah Hodgins was on the Bills practice squad, if memory serves, before he came over to the Giants. Darius Slayton left for dead. Sterling Shepard got hurt in the middle of the season. Wandale Robinson gone. I mean, how is that much, much worse than what Richardson has to work with?
I just think first game in the NFL against real defenses. I know the Jaguars ain't a real
defense.
I know they're, dude, come on.
Let's Jaguars ain't a real defense.
Better than what he saw in the preseason. Whoever he faced in the preseason, it doesn't matter. And he looked rough in the preseason for most of the time. So I'm staring clear week one.
I would say that if the rushing is going to be what we expect it to and what we have seen from similar quarterbacks in the past, I would bank on Richardson just from a fantasy standpoint. Just from a fantasy standpoint, it might look ugly. Probably don't even watch the game. Just look at Yahoo, ESPN, whatever site that you play on, like after the game is over. They'd be like, holy shit, 26 points. How do you do that? Like, that's
26 points, man. I've been like QB4. All right.
100 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah. I'm not. It happened. I can't do it. Anyway.
I like it. That's why I put those two there.
It's close, though. I mean, I understand.
It is very close. It is a ceiling versus a floor argument for sure. Mm. But I mean, you talked about him a lot, Chris, here. We're moving on to our next one. Daniel Jones versus the Cowboys, or Russell Wilson versus the Raiders. AJ, you get to start us off.
Let's get ourselves back in the kitchen, baby. We cooking with Russ. Come on. I mean, just looking at the opponents alone, I don't even care about the quarterbacks. Dallas has a light years ahead better defense than the Raiders. So I love the matchup for Russ. He's on the comeback tour. He's got, you know, an egomaniac head coach, you know, throwing in plays now. I think he needs to prove something to the league and to, well, really, and to fantasy managers and to himself, and maybe to Ciara. Maybe it gets him back into the kitchen that, you know, is inside of the house instead of the one in the doghouse that he's been in. So Danny Dimes, I think he can put up some decent stats. I think it's going to be a back and forth game in Giants Dallas, but Wilson, I think, is just going to dominate this game.
All right. I like it. Hot and spicy out the gate.
That's right.
All right, Chris, you're next.
Yeah, I'm not starting any quarterback against Dallas's defense. I want nothing to do with that. It's too much of I think Dallas is going to be like the number one defense in the league, to be quite honest. They were third last season in adjusted fantasy points allowed to the quarterback position. While I'm optimistic about what him and Waller can do, outside of those two, who were people drafting like on that squad? I mean, at all, like in the first like 8 to 10 rounds in fantasy drafts this season? Saquon Barkley. Okay, cool. Yeah. I mean, that's about it. Dallas was also top 10 in adjusted fantasy points allowed to the running back too. So, okay. So we've got Darren Waller and that's it. So on the flip side, despite the fact that Jerry Jeudy's injured, but it sounds like he was coming back to practice, might play this week. Doubt it, but either way.
Yeah.
I mean, Russell Wilson at least has options, solid options, from Cortland Sutton to Marvin Mims, who folks have been excited about from a rookie standpoint, Javonte, Samaje, Dulcich, if you want to throw his name back into contention. I mean, there are outs for Russell Wilson where I don't see the same for Darren Waller. And the Raiders defense last season tied for the most QB1 finishes allowed in the 2022 season. I think that whole team is in disarray. I wouldn't be surprised to see Devonta Adams moved by the trade deadline. Just watch him go to the freaking Jets and go play with Rodgers again. Either way, yeah, if there's a team, there's offense facing the Raiders, I will side with that offense.
Yeah.
I have a feeling you're going to make it a clean sweep, Joe.
Honestly, I'm not. I know I probably should. And I hear all your all's points. I know the matchup is there, but I don't trust Russ Wilson yet over and like I'm not a big Daniel Jones guy, but he had some nice games against Dallas last year. 15, 14 points. Not great, but like Wilson was lucky to hit those points a lot last year. I get we're all like, you know, new coaching staff there in Denver. I just feel like we haven't heard a lot of good things out of Denver yet. Maybe they're just like suppressing it. I don't know, but like, I'm just not feeling the love yet there. And I want to see it happen. I do want to say that like one of the good games he had last year was actually against Vegas, of course. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look that up real quick. Now that I'm thinking about it, but yeah, it was, yeah, of course, week four. That was like his one monster game, 26.5 points. So of course, I mean, yeah, could that happen again? Absolutely. But then he also had a 10-point performance in week 11, so that could also happen. Same bad defense, he just put up a dud because that's what Russ is doing. And you just haven't heard a lot of good things out of him yet. I was kind of high on him earlier in the offseason. Got to him in a couple places pretty late. I started shying away from him just because things just didn't seem to be improving a whole lot. In fact, if anything, you kind of heard Sean Payton say, like, things really need to get better. This team needs to start meshing and communicating better. And I don't know if that's just Sean, like, playing the mental game with them, trying to, like, light a fire on their ass. But, like, usually you hear a lot of, like, positive talk, you know, even if it's wrong, even if it's not true. That wasn't happening there. And that tells me no thanks. So I'm on Daniel Jones this week, even though it is the Dallas defense, and I get it. I'm with you, Chris. I think they are the number one defense this year in fantasy, and I've got them ranked right there. That's what I put them as.
All right, so quick bonus question for both of you since you had opposing answers.
Mm-hmm.
For Scott Fish as a second quarterback, do you like Daniel Jones or Sam Howell better?
Sam Howell Jones playing the Cardinals.
Yeah. It's the I don't know. Still kind of want to. I mean, I get it. Yeah. I still want to see. I've got Howell pretty high. He's 18, but I got Jones a little bit higher. So
that's where I'm like, I think I'll take Howell.
Could that just be one of those like they just get ahead and then they just run Brian Robinson a bunch?
If Terry McLaurin plays, does that change your opinion?
That's kind of to me.
I just kind of wonder if they're just going to smash the Cardinals because everybody will this year. Well, yeah. Sam Howell won't have to do much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe. All right. So.
All right. Moving on to RBs.
Moving on to them running backs. Yes. All right. We got a bunch of. Well, I mean, you guys are great at transitions. Cool. Talking about the Cardinals here, James Conner against Washington. Or Damian Pierce against Baltimore. Joe, you get to start us off this time. Actually, no, my bad. Chris does. I fucked that up already.
Amateur.
I caught it.
I still. I have to go with. I'm going to go with Damian Pierce on this one. I cannot invest in this Cardinals offense. It just. I know that James Conner is going to get most of the work, and he's probably going to get 80% of the running back carries. Looking at their pass catching core, they'll probably wind up with, you know, somewhere between like 5, 6, 7, 8 targets, like somewhere in there. So like the touches and the volume will always be there, like for Connor in this offense, the way they have it set up right now. My concern is he going to find himself like he's not going to break off any explosive runs. We can't, at this point in his career, we can't expect that from him. So, and we also have very little confidence in the idea that the Cardinals will make it into the red zone. So if he's not breaking off explosives, not getting into the red zone, it's just, I can't do it. With Pierce, there were rumblings throughout the offseason of him getting more work as a receiver. So we could see a few more targets that come his way. And while facing the Ravens, after the trade for Roquan Smith, they only allowed one 100-yard rusher. And actually, they only one 100-yard rusher and two rushing touchdowns to running backs, like over the back like 8 or 9 games of the season. Doesn't look like a great matchup like for Pierce. We have seen him break off and be an explosive running back like in throughout the 2022 season. So at least there is an out for him. And also, it's not like I would assume the Texans are going to want to thrust Devin Singletary into obvious passing situations. So if we do see more of a bell cow role for Pierce in this season, which offseason indications have been that's going to be the case, I would lean Pierce over Connor in this situation. Both are gross, but I'd lean talent over all of that.
All right, before we move on real quick, Jamie, debating Damian Pierce and Sanders in 2 dynasty leagues this week. Real quick, guys, flash round. Sanders,
we're going to talk about Sanders soon.
Yeah, but these are 2 different matchups. Like just Sanders. Real quick, real quick.
Probably go Pierce.
All right. AJ, any input?
Between Pierce and Sanders, I think I'm going Sanders, actually.
All right. On to you, Joe. Do you want James Conner against your team this week? Or David Pierce against Baltimore?
I got called out for it on the sheet. Thanks, AJ. I know this. I flip flopped on it, man. I had Connor, but like honestly, when I wrote down Connor, I was like, I mean, the matchup is there. Everything Chris is saying, like the matchup is there. Like the fact that you know the Commanders' offense or defense is not very good. Although, randomly enough, like I looked it up, and they actually gave up not a lot of points for the running backs last year. Maybe that's just because they were getting smashed in the passing game. I don't know. It just felt like this defense wasn't very good, but apparently they were pretty good against the run. I kind of forgot that. I tried not to pay attention to the Commanders last year because I hated them and Snyder and company.
Yep.
Anyway. But yeah, I mean, this offense is just going to be very hard to trust all around. And so, you know, not much else to add. I think, Chris, you said most of it. So, you know, this I feel like the safer play is Pierce, even though it's still not good because the Ravens is brutal.
Yeah. I also have Pierce. I just think he's going to dominate the touches. Singletary is more going to be a change pace guy. Mike Boone is there. I mean, he could snag a couple targets maybe from him, but overall, you know, they're going to focus on getting Pierce the ball. I will say the one uptick for Connor would be that the guys behind him are pretty much garbage. You know, you got Keontae Ingram and Amari DiMercato,
yep.
Who's you know unknown. So I think he will also be the bell cow for it, but I just think Arizona is terrible, and their coach is a traitor. So. Screw them. Actually, I'm glad he's gone.
On to the next. This one, we got a little higher profile names here. I wanted to sneak some, you know, guys in here. Like, realistically, nobody has probably the choice of these 2 running backs. If you do, great drafting. But Ramondre Stevenson versus the Eagles or Najee Harris versus the Niners. And, Joe, you get to start us off.
I'm going Stevenson. You know, again, you're right. You probably don't have the luxury of fading Najee, but if you do, like it, this is the week to fade him, going against that vaunted, you know, 49ers defense who just absolutely blew away the field as far as running backs or points allowed to running backs last year. And there's no slowing them down. Honestly, they got Bosa back now, so it's game over for Harris this week, unfortunately, which I drafted a lot of Harris because he was slipping in drafts, I felt like, and so it's going to burn me week 1, but hopefully things will get a lot better. So it's Stevenson. I'm not really that scared off by Zeke. I think Zeke will get his, but Stevenson's still the man. So,
all right, AJ, are you going to take Stevenson against your boys, or are you going Najee against that vaunted defense?
No, I'm going Carr Ramrod, because anytime I get the chance to say Carr Ramrod on the show, which is my new coined name for him, or has been all season, I'm going to do it. So, yeah, talking about depth, the only two running backs that New England has right now are Stevenson and Zeke Elliott. I just did the fantasy six-pack depth chart updates, so be sure to check those out too on the site, running backs and receivers. But yeah, that was kind of shocking to me. I mean, I know they traded strong, obviously, but they just don't have anybody else on the roster. So it's like, okay. And ourlads.com also verified that for me as well. So
does ESPN and everybody else.
Yeah, it's like,
that's actually okay. Shocking for a Patriots team. Like, where the hell is everybody else?
Belichick's like, screw it. I don't care. I'm tired of losing Brady here.
Either that or they're just not listing them in the depth chart, which seems weird. Mm-hmm. There's other people there.
I mean, I feel like Kevin Harris should still be on the team. Oh, maybe he's on the practice squad. I mean, they might bring somebody up.
They will. There's no way you go into a game with two running backs. I know you like Ramondre, but that's crazy. Anyway.
Yeah.
Chris, what'd you got, man?
Pop quiz. How many 100-yard rushers did the 49ers allow in the 2022 season?
Three.
Can I play? I think it was either zero or one.
I want to say, yeah, it was.
They didn't even allow a total of 1,000 rushing yards to the running backs they played last year.
Not a one.
Zero. I was gonna say that's easy. Yeah. Zero.
Yep. Not a one.
Hot shot.
Yep. Not a one. The most I think was Josh Jacobs. I think he got like just short of 70. If memory serves. So yeah, no. Unless that's we're
like 35 carries.
Yeah, unless we're expecting like Najee to have. You know, like when it was him and Ben Roethlisberger and he was getting like, you know, 6-7 targets or something like that. So in a PPR league,
17 targets.
Oh yeah. But like,
yeah.
Unless you're expecting that type of workload, which now having Deontay Johnson, George Pickens, like taking a bigger role, Allen Robinson working out of the slot and Pat Freiermuth, I'm not seeing that target share going his way this season. So no, I can't do Najee this year. Well, especially not week one.
Not this week. I like him this year. He played a lot better down the stretch last year, and that offense started finally getting moving. But this is not the week to do it. This is not the week to go back to that. If you can do it, like, I get it. Most people drafted him as probably their RB2. Some people their RB1. So
yep.
My RB1 it is what it is, and so you're kind of stuck with them, unfortunately, I think, in most cases. But if you have the luxury, then you're not doing it. So
yeah
he started off last year week one with an injury, and that slowed down the season. I mean, this is pretty much equivalent to an injury playing the Niners out the gate.
Yeah, kind of.
All right, on to the next one here. This one's, in my opinion, it's a little spicy here because we got the injury to Jeff Wilson and the Dolphins. But we got Miles Sanders at the Falcons or Raheem Mostert at the Chargers. AJ, you start us off.
I'm going with Sanders here. Like I said, I would take him over Pierce as well. I think
Atlanta's... Sorry, I'm going to interrupt you real quick. Lions has turned the Chiefs over on a punt. Got the ball either in the red zone or just outside the red zone. Whoa, watching baby.
Right now, and up. Oh, there it is.
But is the elbow down?
No, that will get overturned.
That elbow
caused
is,
it.
Yeah.
Damn, how is that elbow not like dislocated?
Oh. Yeah, that looked like that.
That hurt.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Like, there's a divot in the ground.
That's why I did not play football. Man, it was just like the very tip, just right in the
That's some like funny bone nerve damage type of thing.
He's not playing the rest of the night. That dude's not gonna feel his arm for the rest of the night.
Mm-hmm. Was that Justin Ross?
Richie James.
All right. Anyway, sorry, AJ.
AJ, I
just thought we had a big play. I was like, oh baby.
Yeah. Back to why you want Miles Sanders over Raheem Mostert this week.
I'm gonna echo Jamie's thoughts here in the comments. I think that the fact that the Panthers wide receivers are pretty banged up right now, between DJ Chark and Thielen. You know, both teams have rookie quarterbacks that they're looking at. Well, Ritter's not necessarily a rookie, but might as well be. I just think Sanders is the better play in my mind. Mostert's,
he can tweak a hamstring and be out by halftime. But we'll move on. Woo. Chris, what's your thoughts?
Oh my gosh. So between the two of them, I lean Mostert, but I have concerns, especially with Teron Armstead still missing practice. So that's my biggest concern, but the Dolphins, the Chargers Dolphins game is the only other matchup in week one with a projected total over 50 points by Vegas betting lines, other than the one that's playing right now. Without Jeff Wilson, the volume should be there. The only concern for Mostert would be, is he going to get targeted once they get into the red zone? Dolphins last season, they were top five in pass rate over expectation once they got into the red zone. I think only the Chiefs, Bengals, and I think maybe the Vikings were over them. They're top four, top five. So I think with the Chargers defense, they should be able to move the ball well enough that they'll get into the red zone often enough for Mostert to be considered for touches. But it's just, if he's not going to be the guy they target because they've got A-Chain, is Mostert really going to be able to return that level of value? But I still lean his way over Sanders.
Right. Yeah, so I'm with AJ. I'm on Sanders. The Chargers defense is a little bit better. I know the Miami offense is way better than what we expect the Panthers to be. So Mostert's got that form. Plus, as you said, Chris, it's his kind of backfield right now. I think A-Chain's going to get kind of worked in a little slower. We're even seeing that with the Lions right now. Like they're all in on Gibbs. You can tell they're working him in quite a bit, but it's still more Montgomery right now. So the vet's going to get the workload early on. That's typical. My thing with Sanders is that this passing offense still needs to, gel together, especially with injured receivers. They're going to lean on Sanders a lot, and he can catch the passes out of the backfield too. So even if they're down, he can stay in the game. And so that's why I'm on Sanders.
All right. So I did have bonus questions, but since we are running a little long here, we can skip past those ones. So we'll move on then to the wide receivers. And Chris, you get the honor of starting us off again. You get to pick two out of this one, though. We get Garrett Wilson versus the Bills, Devontae Smith versus the Patriots, or Chris Olave versus the Titans.
Give me Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson. I'll take those two over Devonta Smith. That's just more of a personal preference. I understand, like, Devonta Smith, as it relates to target share, especially in what splits that you use, had a higher target share than A.J. Brown at times. My only concern would be for Devonta Smith is that once they get in the red zone, is it going to be Jalen Hurts taking it in versus him passing it? Whereas with Garrett Wilson, we've already seen the connection between him and Rodgers, like already through the preseason. With Chris Olave, I don't care if Michael Thomas is back or not. It's Olave that's the wide receiver one on that team. Ain't no two ways about it. And Derek Carr, last year while he was with the Raiders were about league average in pass rate over expectation in the red zone. So if they are still passing once they get into the red zone, I think it's going to be Olave, the one.
Especially without Kamara right now.
Yep. Yeah. So it's easier for me to take those two over Devonta Smith.
Yeah. So I'm just going to chime in. I totally agree. And the other reason is that Devonta Smith, like he saw a large target share last year without Dallas Goedert, and now Goddard's there. And so, yeah, Smith is still great. and this probably isn't a question for a lot of people. They probably don't have all three of these players on their team.
That'd be dope if you did, but yeah.
Yeah, good job, right?
Yeah.
But that's amazing. But Devonta Smith is unfortunately the third in this list of three.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. I originally went Smith, and Olave,
of course you did, Eagles fan.
I agree. I'll agree and go with the two number ones. So,
that is a great point. Both we got two number ones and then a number two in the offense, or a 1B.
1B.
Yeah, it's a 1B.
Apparently, Jamie just wants us to go all night long. There we go.
We're just answering all of his fantasy questions at this point.
Nice.
Why not?
All right, next one.
out of the next one here, Joe, you get to start us off. You got your boy, Deebo Samuel, against the Steelers. Your other boy, Amari Cooper, versus the Bengals.
Uh-huh.
And then we got Calvin Ridley making his debut after that long absence against the Colts.
I hate this question.
Thank you.
This went in, so Calvin Ridley's a start for me against Indy. That's a no-brainer for me out of these three. Deebo and Cooper, honestly, so I've been using my half PPR rankings for most of these answers. Actually, all of them so far. This one is a split. So if it's half, I'm going Deebo. If it's full, I'm going Cooper as far as start. Tough matchups for both of them. But if you can give me the extra like half point per reception for Cooper, he's going to be a target hog in that offense. I get they got Elijah Moore now and Njoku's going to get some, but Cooper's the guy. Cooper's the main dog there, and we know that. And we saw it last year in that offense, and granted, I know it wasn't with Deshaun Watson for very successful, or when Cooper was successful, but Deebo is just so hit or miss. Yeah, Deebo could honestly, he'll be wide receiver three, because he'll break an 80-yard like screen pass. That's what he does. But it's so hard to rely on Deebo. We saw so much of his end of the year once he played and CMC was there that Deebo just didn't see the same amount of workload, didn't get the yardage, it just wasn't the same Deebo that we were expecting. Maybe he was injured. We don't know. We're also dealing with Brock Purdy's supposed to be the guy, but like maybe this was like, look, I loved the story and watching Brock Purdy last season, but I think we're all hoping that continues just because it was fun to watch, but we don't really know what's going to happen with Brock Purdy. And also like he didn't play much this preseason. So that matters. Like, what did he play? One series, I think, is what it was. Threw one pass for like 4 yards. Like he's gonna need to kind of knock the rust off too, and feel comfortable in the pocket again a little more too before I can trust a Deebo over a Cooper, in my opinion. It's tough to start Deebo right now, but it's a tough matchup for both of them. So,
all right, AJ, round her off.
On this one, I'm going Cooper and Ridley. I don't like Deebo at all this year, so personal preference.
Oh, right. Man, even after he's been sending shirtless pics to Kyle Shanahan?
Yeah, he's also been a whiny little bitch about how the Eagles crushed him in the NFC Championship game.
Oh, we got to the root. Oh, we got to the root.
There it is.
Nailed it.
All right. We'll move on to the next one here. All right. AJ, you going to start us off again? You got DJ Moore against the Packers making his debut. We got another Niners wide receiver in Brandon Ayuk against the Steelers. And then on the other end of the field, you got Deontay Johnson versus the Niners. Who are you going out of these three?
I'm going DJ squared. DJ Moore, Deontay Johnson. I do like Ayuk this year. I honestly think he will be more valuable than Deebo. I don't know if many people will agree with that, but I love DJ Moore. I think him and Fields are going to have an awesome connection this year. And Deontay is just the main guy for Pittsburgh. So those are the two choices for me.
All right, Chris, are you going to change it up? How are you going to go?
No, I'll stick with those two. I have my skepticism over DJ Moore long term, just given the number of targets that he got in the Panthers offense and their passing rates versus, I mean, we can say he'll have a monster target share, but on a team that's only going to run it, that's even two-thirds of the amount of or going to pass two-thirds of the amount that Carolina did last year. I think DJ Moore is fine for this one. Deontay Johnson from his volume in the offense, also fine, even though he has a tough matchup. I think with Ayuk, the hope is that he can continue to challenge Debo Samuel for more looks in the offense, and George Kittle for that matter, assuming Kittle plays this week. But overall, I think it's easier to look at both DJs for this one.
All right, Joe.
Yeah, I agree. I initially wrote it down. Ayuk and DJ Moore, but I looked at my rankings a little wrong here. Weirdly enough, I don't know if anybody realizes this, but the 49ers were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They allowed the third most points to wide receivers last year. Is that what I'm reading? 1, 2, 4, 5th.
Probably because they couldn't run on them.
So yeah, I mean, they just you get up. You know, they get out. They would get up big, or yeah, you can't run on them. So people are passing against them. Johnson's going to have this boatload of targets, and we know this. He did last year, in the last 3 years, 6, 2, and 6 in targets in the NFL. And yeah, Ayuk's going against Pittsburgh. They're really good too. So it's not going to be pretty for either one of those guys, Ayuk and Johnson. But I would lean Johnson just slightly over Ayuk, especially since he's probably the wide receiver one on that team. Ayuk is, I guess, the wide receiver one, but you know, we just talked about Debo. Like, Debo's still there, and that does make a big difference for Ayuk. Like, there's a lot of games where Ayuk does absolutely nothing because Debo just goes off, and not that I'm saying it will, but it's possible that neither one of these guys goes off. So anyway, moving on.
All right, I'll let you guys decide real quick. You want to do the bonus question? Since Jamie wants the bonus, you know, he wants the content, you got to give the people what they want.
We're all right. We can rip through the last part of this, I think.
Yeah.
Not a lot of analysis with the last parts.
All right. Sounds good. We're going to do the bonus question, Jamie. All right. Chris, you get to start us off with this one. Michael Thomas versus the Titans, Marquise Brown versus the Commanders, or Terry McLaurin with some turf toe against the Cardinals?
Terry McLaurin, assuming he plays. That's an easy one for me.
Fair enough. Joe?
I assume this was a sit two or a pick two.
Pick two.
Oh, my bad. My bad.
No. I figured that was what Chris meant, was he was sitting McLaurin.
Nope. I was going to start him.
Oh, yeah. I thought
we were picking. I thought we were picking. Assuming he plays, yeah, I would play Terry McLaurin against the Cardinals in week one. Mm-hmm. I have no problems with that. Him and Michael Thomas would be my two picks out of that.
All right.
Yeah. So obviously if Terry plays, those are my two. Sit Brown, and then clearly if Terry McLaurin is out, then you play the other two. It kind of gets answered for you. Honestly.
Yeah. Definitely. In a sense. Yeah.
It all depends on McLaurin's health.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, just in a short sense, you guys aren't really, you know, afraid of the turf toe, basically, if he plays.
Not when you play the Cardinals.
From watching him in practice, looking like he was pushing, because there were some routes that the beat writers were posting yesterday. Looks like he was pushing off on, it was the left foot, if I'm remembering right. But either way, like, he was pushing off on the foot that he was said to have had the turf toe on. So if it's not looking like he's limping around in practice, no signs of that. I mean, yeah, I'll play him.
Yeah. All right, AJ, you following it?
Yeah, I agree.
I kind of figured you guys would, you know, put McLaurin in there, but I was curious how you guys thought about the turf toe playing with it, because it is one of those injuries that likes to linger.
Yeah. I just want nothing to do with the Arizona offense if I can help it.
Yeah.
That's also fair.
The quarterback situation is disgusting.
I mean, that quarterback situation reminds me of that time that the Eagles played San Fran in the NFC Championship game last year. It was just brutal, absolutely brutal from another NFC West team.
Had to bring
West
that up
team.
Again, huh?
So,
had to bring that up again. Was there a specific team that won out of that game that you're a fan of? I mean, any?
I think it was the one in the green.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Not the whiny bitches in the red. No,
oh, okay. There we go. Not them.
Wow.
Don't forget the gold too. All right, we'll move on.
They didn't get gold that day.
That's fair. We'll move on then to our tight end section here. We only got two questions for this one. One main one and then a bonus one here for all you Kelce owners out there. So, Chris started the last one. Joe, who are you playing this week? Are you going Dalton Schultz or are you reaching for the stars for Dalton Kincaid against the Jets? Schultz plays the Ravens.
Yeah, I wrote down Kincaid. I actually meant to. I thought I was saying who I was going to sit. I'm sitting.
I know
Kincaid.
It's confusing. It's a battle of the Daltons.
I mean, I'm playing Schultz. I know rookie quarterback. I'd rather think of rookie quarterback throwing to a veteran tight end than a veteran quarterback throwing to a rookie tight end who we know rookie tight ends don't usually figure it out this quickly. So Laporta had some nice catches tonight, but no thanks.
All right.
Both very AJ. Good defenses too. So I'll take the tight end.
I'm starting Schultz as well. More proven receiver. As a tight end, Kincaid, we just don't know what we're getting yet. I think long term season wise, I think I would go with Kincaid, but this week I like Schultz.
All right, Chris, all yours.
Schultz for me. Yeah, it's easier for me to see a path to targets like for Schultz. Kincaid, it depends on pick your poison with the Bills offense. I mean, from Diggs to Davis to Cook to still has Knox to deal with as well. And we haven't even mentioned the Shakir or Trent Sherfield, like who's been also getting targets like in the preseason. So I know he's on a pass happy offense, one of the better quarterbacks in the league. But yeah, I'll lean towards Schultz, who has an easier path to targets.
All right, I like it. Clean sweep. And I got to take blame for this, but Jamie thought that was a completely gross bonus question.
that was the receiver one, by the way.
Yeah, no, I know. The bonus that was the only bonus question we did.
Oh, right.
So,
we haven't done another one.
You got a better one. Pick one. Christian Kirk, Deontay Johnson, or Chris Godwin?
Wait, what?
Pick one?
Pick one. Start one between the three. I read it before for you.
I got thoughts on that one.
Man. All right, Chris.
Oh, okay.
You got thoughts?
Yeah, I got thoughts on that one. So I said earlier that the Raiders, we were talking about Russell Wilson. So the Raiders allowed like they were tied for the most quarterback one finishes like in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know who number two was? The Vikings. So Chris Godwin in the slot. I know Baker Mayfield has been bad in the past, not the most reliable guy, but that Vikings personnel, I know that Brian Flores is a good defensive coach, but Lord have mercy, like the way that they played last year, it was bad.
That's who I was going with too. So yeah, it is Godwin.
Out of that group, I could see like Chris Godwin having one of those like 10 for 100 and a touch, like that's in the range of outcomes like for him.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
all right, I'm on board with that. Appreciate the question, Jamie. All right, on to the bonus question.
I was gonna skip it. Let's just move on because he gave us an extra bonus question. Does anybody care about like backup tight ends?
Well,
fine,
I mean,
there's
people out there with bench Kelce. I
understand. That's why I said, never mind, ask it.
All right. So, AJ, you can start us off. You get to choose one out of the three. Rapid fire. I gave you three options because, I mean, it's the waiver wire. You got Juwan Johnson versus the Titans, Gerald Everett versus the Dolphins or Greg Dulcich versus the Raiders?
I like Everett personally. I think that's going to be we already talked about it being a high scoring game. I think he's, you know, definitely a safe option.
All right, Chris, how about you?
Everett. Everett was third on the team in red zone targets, like when all of the pass catchers were healthy down the last like six games of the season. So yeah, give me Everett.
Joe, finish it off.
I'm actually Juwan Johnson. Titans were fifth worst against the tight ends last year, and I don't see him getting any better. Johnson's been trending upwards.
They got Nuke. God, where have you been?
Anyway, so yeah, I just think, you know, Johnson's gonna have, in honestly, like you could argue that having Michael Thomas healthy could help him find more space, right? Especially in the red zone type of thing. You know, there's been a lot of talk about Johnson, you know, taking the step forward and becoming a tight end one this year, and you know, this could be one of those games that kind of vaults him into that territory. Titans defense is just not very good. So there you go.
Okay. All right.
That's my pick.
Joe, you can take it away with your futures.
All right. So yeah, so we're gonna finish off here. Just kind of run through, not have to give a lot of, you know, a lot of analysis on this. Let's just have some fun with it. Some predictions. I know we've got game one right now, and David Montgomery just scored a touchdown to put the Lions tie them right now. 20-20, the extra point pending.
Boom.
Yeah, get Mahomes on the
there
field.
There we go. I started some DeMont this week.
I did too. And of course, I smartly put him into the running back position. I had him in a flex position, but I moved him.
Go. Got him just because. I almost had him in my flex and was like, wait a minute, it's Thursday. Oh,
yeah. So I put Tony Pollard as a flex. I mean, that's just weird.
So, yes, me and Keith Lott drafted him in both of our King Classic auction and snake drafts. So, yeah. Starting off with a bang. Anyway, NFL predictions. We're going to run through some things with you, Chris. And
all right.
Start off, MVP. Who's your pick?
Pains me to say it, but I could see Lamar Jackson getting it this year.
All right.
I could see it happening.
Okay.
On my short list, he was. AJ.
He's actually who I had written down initially, but.
Of course.
Because I picked Jalen Hurts.
Is there any reason why you would pick that particular quarterback?
I love Chris giving you crap too. I love it.
I mean, he was so close last year. I mean, he's such a good guy.
He's motivated.
He's a really deep thinker. If you've watched any of his pressers, like he throws out these quotes that are just like, man. I think I'm going to go sit in the woods and try to listen for trees falling and whether or not they make a sound, even though I am around, but nobody else is.
Wow. Anyway,
that's the kind of deep shit he puts out there.
Yeah.
It might be boring, but I'm going Mahomes. I know, you know, he's missing Kelsey.
Boring.
But like, I just nerd think, alert. Like, if he can get Kelsey back the rest of the season, I don't see how he doesn't repeat. Like, he's just that good. He's actually made it almost work in this game.
Dude, Gray's looked pretty good in this game, honestly.
And you know, Mahomes is a magician out there, man. He really is. I feel like he's gonna make it work again. So, but anyway, rookie of the year, AJ.
I'm going Bryce Young on this one. I think he's the first overall pick, and you know he's got some solid weapons around him. I think the defense is what's gonna help propel him because they may not be as good, so he's gonna have to throw a lot.
All right.
And no non-quarterback player has won. Oh, sorry. Never mind. That was MVP I was thinking of. 2012.
Yeah.
Since Adrian Peterson. So, way off on that one.
Chris, where are you at? Rookie of the year.
Uh, Bijan?
Yeah, that's kind of where I went. It feels like the lazy pick, but like, I don't know. Yeah. Nobody from this rookie class really excites me.
Like, I know you have to do like over, like, you either have to be very close or over like 2,000 all purpose yards in order to do it.
And for Bijan?
I think so.
A rookie of the year?
I mean, to beat out a quarterback for the award.
I don't know, man. I'm not really sure either one of these quarterbacks have it in them to perform well enough. You know, I mean, what are we looking for?
It's a narrative award, though, right? I don't.
But rookies, man. Like, I feel like rookies. It's not always the quarterback.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be.
No.
But no, it's not like even a player.
There isn't really a standout wide receiver in this class.
Last couple of years, it's been, you know, it's been Garrett Wilson and Ja'Marr Chase. Then it was Justin Herbert. Then it was Kyler. Then it was Saquon. Then it was Alvin Kamara. It's been mixing back and forth. Bijan's one of those guys who's going to just go off. You know, we're not going to see like Adrian Peterson type numbers when he was MVP. But yeah, well, I don't see why not. I don't see why we can't get good enough numbers from Bijan that he could win it. I mean, outside of that, I mean, like, I don't know. There's not a receiver that fell into a spot where you're like, oh yeah, it's got to be him.
So Saquon had 1,307 rushing yards and 721 receiving yards when he got
his rookie season. Well, yeah, that was that crazy year where they had nobody else to get the ball.
So I'm saying like 2K, like it has to be like 2K all purpose for him for him to do.
What did Kamara do the year that he won it?
Ooh, that's a good question.
He was.
So Alvin Kamara, his rookie season.
728 yards rushing, 26 yards receiving.
That's a lower bar.
13 touchdowns total.
Yeah.
But it was 81 receptions. So it was still a lot. But I mean, like, Bijan could do something. I think Bijan could do something like that in this class and win it. That's kind of where my head's at. All right. So we're going to rip through some division winners. We'll do the AFC first. Should I start? Because I'm the one who hasn't done it yet. I'll do AFC East first. I'm gonna go Buffalo. I'm kind of boring with this. Like, I looked through it, I kind of wanted to be risky with it, but I was like, I didn't feel it. Buffalo, Cincy, Jaguars, and then Kansas City. Chris.
No arguments there. Yeah, I'm there.
I'm right there. I put Baltimore. I think it's going to be a coin toss between
that was.
I got to go, y'all.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to bounce?
I got to go. He said Baltimore. We got to go.
I think it's going to be a coin
toss. That was good.
I put that down because I was going Lamar for the MVP. If he hits MVP.
I was the one that said Lamar getting MVP, so the two have to go.
Well, we know it's not the Browns. I like that.
Yeah.
Did anybody that wins it from the North honestly wouldn't shock me?
It's a
tough division.
Yeah.
The other one that sort of flip flopped with me was, you know, if Kelce does miss more time than this
one game, Chargers.
I can see Chargers.
That's one of the ones where I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I kind of flip flopped between Buffalo and Miami.
I'm kind of flip flopping between the Bills and the Jets.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the one. I think Bills and the Jets for me, not Bills and Miami.
This week one game is going to be awesome.
Because this Jets defense
is legit.
They could be a problem.
They are pretty good.
Yes, they could.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
All right, so NFC here. Chris, we'll start with you. Go rip through East, North, South, West.
All right, so let's see. NFC East. I will take those bird people out of
Atlanta's the South.
Out of the East. What are they called again? Philadelphia. Whatchamacallums. Get back to me on that one.
The nation's bird, the eagle.
Whatever.
I think it's on a flag somewhere.
NFC North. I'm going to take the Packers.
Ooh.
I'm kind of high. Like, we'll see what happens in week one with Christian Watson, like, already hurt, and Romeo Doubs coming back. But I'm kind of high on Jordan Love. I think he can take them into this next era of Packers football. NFC South, do we care? Falcons. Nope. For the chaos. Falcons for the chaos.
For the chaos, go Falcons. Nice. I love it.
Yeah, in the West, Seahawks.
Oh, all right. All right, you are way off from me. All right,
I want Geno to, like, you know, solidify his stature.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do like that. I feel like I kind of went maybe chalkish. Obviously Philly, but the craziest thing is that. Well, let me get back to that. So Philly, I got the Lions. I almost went Minnesota, but I think I'm going Lions here, especially seeing this, how they're up on KC by a point with 5 minutes left. That means nothing. They'll still probably lose. New Orleans, just because I think Derek Carr down there with a hopefully healthy Michael Thomas, even if he's, you know, 75% of what he's been.
Not laughing at you.
And move Olave.
Gibbs just put on the defender. Awesome. Was silly.
And holy then I have the whiny bitches winning the West. Because they're probably going to cry about it if they don't. And then people will just be like, God, this again.
Honestly, if they don't, Kyle Shanahan will just have an absolute breakdown. We'll have to put him on, like, awesome. Suicide like, / homicide watch.
Yeah.
The
you paid Bosa this much for what?
Yeah.
So AJ, I'm right there with you, man. Philly, Detroit, New Orleans, San Fran. Good to go Dallas, maybe. I don't know. You could literally go anybody in the NFC East. I feel like they could all kind of take it. Philly does sort of scare me. Like, they had a lot of turnover this offseason. And so, like, there's a little unknown there with them. But you like that offense. They have a good core of players. You know, Washington's kind of taking a fresh start a little bit, you know, so you kind of like that a little bit. And then there's kind of up and coming Giants, you know, maybe take another step. Dallas seems like that team is just sort of like in limbo, but like they're still talented enough that they could do it. Like, really good defense. Could the offense sort of just maybe figure it out? I don't know. But sure, I'll go with Philly. The Lions. Yeah, I really do like what I'm seeing tonight. This defense is playing far better. I know there's no Kelsey, but even with that, like, holding KC to 20 points so far is phenomenal. New Orleans, crap division. They're the only team that I feel like feels like an NFL team in that division. And then San Fran, yeah. I mean, as long as Purdy just doesn't totally stink up the joint, I think that's a no-brainer in that division too. So yeah. Super Bowl teams and winners. I'm going, Chris, you'll like this, Cincy and San Fran.
Let's
with Cincy taking it home.
Let's go.
I totally forgot that you were a Cincy fan, and I picked it anyway.
Let's go.
Chris?
Yeah, I gotta have my Bengals getting to the Super Bowl. Out of the NFC, I could see Dallas going. I could see, like, Dallas and Philly in the NFC Championship. Well, actually, that wouldn't work. But still,
nah, yeah,
I don't think it works.
Yeah, I don't think that works. Either way, I see Dallas coming out of the NFC, and then I think Cincinnati could do it this year.
I think it would have happened this year if Dallas beat San Fran, or this past year.
Yeah,
I think that's
how seeding worked out.
Yeah. The way
it could work out, yeah, they could.
Yeah, I guess if it's like a 6-1,
it'd be a 5-1,
5-1, maybe. Is that what it is?
Well, that's what it would have been last year. That's the big thing on.
And then, like, other teams have to lose to, like, make it reseed correctly.
That's
what it is. Oh, it's because, like, the Giants lost. The Giants weren't supposed to lose, so everything got, like, mixed up.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
they got reseeded.
Yeah.
But yeah, it can happen. It's unlikely, but it does happen.
Yeah.
The big thing here is with the Philly and Dallas are, like, the two obvious teams from the East. Whichever one wins the division is likely the one seed, possibly San Fran. And then the other team would be the 5 is how they're projecting it. And it's like, well, Philly's going to win 14 games again or 15 games, or some of the people are saying, which I don't see happening. I think 11-12. But that 11-12, if Dallas has the one over that or ties, and then they split, you know, the head-to-head, and it screws everything up. So, dude, I have
Mahomes has dropped a dime on Tony, and he let it go through his
arm. Oh, no, like, what? He turned his body away from it to watch Ooh-wee. It cradle. Jeez, man, come on!
What did he do?
I almost moved Tony down out of, and I think I might after this week. But
anyway, what you got for Super Bowl?
I just said I have a rematch of KC and Philly, and I have Philly taking it home.
Okay.
Although I'd much rather play anyone other than KC.
Anyone else?
Yeah, literally.
Don't blame me. We do have Jamie's prediction here, by the way. We'll give him some credit. Bowl prediction: Niners versus Jets Super Bowl, and Rodgers fumbles last play of the game to lose.
I would actually love that.
You know what's going to happen because the Niners own Rodgers.
Yeah,
that'd be funny. So, all right. Well, so we're about to hit the 2-minute mark on the Sunday night game, but we are done, folks. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And again, check us out on our Discord, fantasysixpack.net/discord. Join us there. And of course, become an All Access member. Hit subscribe, hit like, whatever it is. Chris, thank you for joining us tonight. Glad you can make it. And we'll have to do it again this season.
Most definitely.
Let everybody know what you got going on this NFL season.
Tons of stuff going on over at Fantasy Life. So doing 2 shows a week on Thursdays, one with myself, Ian Hartitz, and Dwayne McFarlane walking through some of like the 10 top questions like for the week. Also be doing a show with the wonderful Cooter Doodle and Sam Holt, who does awesome graphics for us. I mean, we'll be doing
they both are like, actually. I just realized you said Sam.
So doing a show with them, just going over just matchups, because that's one of the columns I'll be writing this year for Fantasy Life. Doing a premier matchups column along with 3 or 4 other game previews. Also doing the waiver wire column for Fantasy Life as well. Editing the newsletter and also the writing the newsletter as well. So if you are subscribed to Matthew Berry's Fantasy Life newsletter that comes out every day in your inbox, and you happen to check it out on Saturday morning, you'll find it written by this guy right here. So a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff going on over at Fantasy Life. So yeah, check it out. You'll find my content there, shows there, and all that good stuff.
Awesome, man.
Great work, man. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, thank you again. And we'll reach out again this season and get you back on, man. This was a blast. Yeah,
absolutely, man.
I mean, have a good
bourbon night.
All right, man.
Bourbon night. Okay. Okay, have a good night. Yeah. See ya. All right, AJ, that is it for the show. Next week, we're bringing on Kendall Valenzuela, I believe. So that'll be a good time.
Another
Fantasy Life. Maybe we're just, I mean, they got everybody, so it is what it is. Life. So, but yeah, we, 4th and 25, KC just turned the ball over.
Sky
with 2 minutes
Moore
to go.
Almost had that too.
I think we're gonna see KC go 0-1. It looks like, whoa, baby, maybe Travis Kelce's.
Damn it! I knew I should have picked the Lions in the pick'em.
I thought about it. I really did, but I did not.
I thought
back
about taking them.
I didn't go
with
back
the points
after Kelce got rolled out. I didn't even think about it. I was too busy updating rankings in my like 15 fantasy lineups, and I was like, oh, as soon as the game started, maybe I should have swapped. Oh well, whatever.
Did all of us go Chiefs then? We're 0-3 between the three of us.
Probably. Lions because he destroyed everybody last year in the pick'em. So we'll figure
Dave
out.
Eddie's the only one that picked him. Maybe.
Did I sign up?
You probably didn't. Because you're a Lions hater. What?
I don't even think I signed up for the pick'em.
Well, you're an idiot because you know you don't pay attention to our Slack channel. Yeah, that's what happens. All right, guys and gals, we will see you all next week. Thank you for listening and watching. Have a good night.